This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi there, my name's John Leary and the name of this podcast is The Saturday Quiz. As always, I'm about to ask the 10 general knowledge questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper and my guests are going to try and answer them. The two people joining me today are both comedians who, between them, have won the Graham Kennedy Award for Most Popular New Talent Logie, been the first one eliminated from the sixth season of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and cooked their way to the semi-finals of Celebrity MasterChef. I'm sorry, I only had time to read one of their biographies. Welcome to the show, Tom Ballard and Dilruk Jayasinha.
This is already my favourite podcast ever. So
that was very rude, Johnny.
I'm sorry, Tom.
I've been on Celebrity Name Game, okay? And the fact that you didn't mention that is really rude, actually.
That was a really fun show, that one.
I really enjoyed it, too.
I would do it for free just in home. I think it was a really fun game, you know what I mean?
Do you remember that one, Johnny?
Face on that one. Tell me about it.
It was a celebrity that was me and Dil on some episodes and a bunch of other people would come out, and then you get a member of the public and you have to try and match the answers.
You synchronize.
Right. And you try and get them to say guess the words without saying exactly what the words were.
Kind of like celebrity heads. So you'll have something behind you. Yeah. And for example, like I remember one that I stumbled on was like they got Madagascar and they couldn't get something. They tried so many different things and I think they finally said penguins and they're like, I was like, oh, Madagascar? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, God, you could have done so many different things.
The best part of the show is that obviously they're trying to blow people's minds by the celebrities are revealed, right? So a door will fly up or you walk out and, oh, it's Merv Hughes. Oh, you know, oh my God, I can't believe it. And of course, when I walked out there, I could see in this person's eyes, they had no idea who the fuck I was.
Oh, so great. And the flip side happened with me, Tom, which was one of the episodes I did. The contestants, the public, one of the contestants was Frenchie, this comedian who has like a million more followers than me. Somehow he was the average contestant and I'm the celeb.
That's funny.
Oh my God.
Mike Birbiglia, the American comedian Mike Birbiglia, tells the story or has a bit about being on a celebrity golf tournament, looking around going, oh no, I'm the celebrity.
That's
the embarrassing
thing.
It's
like that Woody Allen thing. It's like, I never want to be a part of a club that has me as a member. It's like, it's like, oh, hang on. If I'm the celebrity, God, this is really bottom of the barrel, isn't it?
not to embarrass you, Dil, but that's actually Groucho Marx. I'm just saying this is a trivia podcast and people want to learn things. But obviously Woody Allen's on your mind for some reason. You love Woody Allen. You endorse his politics and all his behavior. And so you went with that. So that's...
Oh my God. See what you've done? You've angered him, John, and now he's checking it out again.
This is what happens when my credits are not acknowledged.
All right, fine. Award-winning comedian, multiple awards. Actually, funny thing about this, Tom, is like literally I was having this conversation with someone about, they're like, oh, you've got a Logie. And I was like, yeah, that's literally the only thing I've ever won. It's literally the only thing that I have in any form of credit.
Well, I'm glad I mentioned it then.
Thank you.
Now, as we were talking about trivia, Tom, you were saying that it was, in fact, Groucho Marx that said, I wouldn't want to be a member of any club that would have me.
Do I get a bonus point for that or something?
You get a bonus point. Thank you. But yeah, on this podcast, I ask my guests if they have a favourite piece of trivia. Do either of you have a favourite piece of trivia?
I'll go with one of the most useless bit of information that I've ever come across, and I can't get it out of my head, is that the word Arctic is sort of the Greek word for bear or with bear, and Antarctic means without bear. So if you ever need to know where the polar bears are, they're in the Arctic, and the not bear or Antarctic is the south where there's penguins. So it's a very penguin-heavy episode so far.
Yeah, I think it's Arctos is maybe the Greek word for bear. And you can see, it also refers to the, what do you call it, in the sky, the stars?
Sun.
Constellation.
Ah.
The constellation of the bear.
Oh.
You can see in the northern hemisphere, but you can't see it in the southern hemisphere.
Trivia.
There you go.
That's so crazy. That's the label they went with. Just a giant landmass that is at the top and bottom of the globe. And we went with, that one's got bears and that one doesn't have bears. It's like learning the L thing on your hands to remember which one's left and right.
Yeah, indeed. But you're actually wrong there, Tom. There is no landmass at the top of the
Earth.
All
right, I know.
Well, there's actually no such thing as a fish. I watch QI.
For the listeners, this is my first time meeting John, I believe. And I'm already like, well, he's one of those,
this podcast could be called Well Actually. But Tom, do you have a favorite piece of trivia?
Well, my mind always goes to this one. I used to have a joke about this. I got it from a little, remember those little facts that you would get on the lid of a... Sunrise juice thing, yes.
Yeah, not a,
And it was that pigs can't look up. And something about their neck muscles and the way that they're just evolved. Pigs do not have the ability to look upwards towards the sky. And my hilarious joke was like, we should change the saying about something being unlikely. We shouldn't say that, that'll happen when pigs fly. We should say that'll happen when pigs develop the ability to look up.
Oh, wow.
And everyone loves.
Award-winning Tom Allard, by the way. Won a Helpman Award, I believe, or nominated or whatever.
I won that one, thank you.
He's a literary genius, this guy.
I like that. I really like that. But I question the truth of that. Can they really not look up?
What have we got here? It is physically impossible for pigs to look up straight to the sky. It's the anatomy of their neck muscles and the spine that limits the movement of their head and restricts them to look totally upwards.
Well, there you go. Is this in the similar vein of cows? You can take a cow up the stairs, but you can't take them down the stairs? Have you heard that one?
Yeah, right.
It's physically impossible for a pig to look up at the sky because their body evolved in a way to prioritize finding food. I suppose. I mean, what does a pig need to look up for? No hawk is going to soar down and pick it up. Why do they care what's happening above their line of sight?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
To be fair, it feels these days with what's happening with the political situation in the world. I'm like, I'm just going to keep my head down and try and eat as much truffle as I can.
Don't scroll. That's the...
here we go.
Don't look up.
Yeah. Don't look anything up. On the internet.
Don't look up.
Stop looking things up. I mean, I have just looked up here. According to ChatGPT, pigs are able to look up, but it is not a common posture for them as they are primarily ground-dwelling animals. They may look up when they are grazing or exploring their surroundings, but their eyes are positioned on the side of their head, which gives them a wide field of view rather than a focus on the sky.
See, that's me. I'm with ChatGPT on this one.
Additionally, their necks are not as flexible as other animals, so they may have difficulty looking directly upward. I mean, that's a different fact, isn't it?
See, I don't think they can't look up. They just, they just go, why bother?
Well, see, you guys are looking up those facts, which are hard to find. I'm looking up things like Tom Ballard Awards. We know Best Newcomer 2009, Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yes, Edinburgh.
Yeah, a Helpman Award in 2016. Winner, Best Australian Show at the Sydney Comedy Festival. Yeah, wow. God.
All right, Johnny, let's do question one. Come on.
All right, question one. Here we go. Does the Spanish word pequeña mean large or small?
Pequeña?
Pequeña.
Pequeña. So it's P-E-Q-U-E-N with a little hat on it and an A.
Hmm.
One day I will learn what those little hats are called.
I know the two dots are umlaut.
Oh, that's an umlaut?
I believe the two dots are umlaut. I don't know what the hat is. Tom, have you got anything? I know it's a 50-50 shot here, but I'd like to see if there was some kind of process behind it, but I'm drawing blanks here. Pequeña.
Large or small? I mean, like grande, I believe, is...
A great singer. She's wonderful, very talented. She's part of the Mickey Mouse Club. Yes, we're aware.
Am I crazy? Is Grande a thing? Grande's a thing, isn't it?
Grande's a thing that you order at Starbucks, yeah.
Relating to a size, yes.
But yes.
As opposed to a venti. I think you're on the right track there, Tommy. If Grande is big, pequeña must be. And also, doesn't it sound cute? Like pequeña. Just a little pequeña, you know? Like,
yeah. Have I almost heard Spanish people use that as like a term of endearment for like a little, like a child or a loved one, maybe. So I'd go
with that.
Yeah, let's go with pequeña. Are we playing against each other, Tom, or are we on the same side?
No, you're very much on the same team. Yes.
Team comedy.
Yeah, team comedy against no one.
So against, well, actually.
You're sure to win against me as well, actually.
Yeah, let's go with small. Let's say that means
small. Yeah, very good. Of course it's small. And of course, you're right. Grande is large.
Beautiful.
Very well done. Question number two. What ancient city became the capital of the Roman Empire during the reign of Constantine the Great in AD 330?
Oh, my God. Woof. I mean, how are you generally with, like, old history, Tom? Are you good with, like, Roman, Greek, that stuff? Or?
No, all that stuff, I just immediately, yes, my brain starts to...
Is it fair to say you're very... quite like knowledgeable about, say, modern history, let's say especially Australian and stuff like that, like, you know, you a little bit have a better grasp of all that stuff, is it?
19th, 20th, I'd say is much more in my wheelhouse, yes.
Yeah.
Anything in the Bible or like, the Roman Empire, I really don't know what the hell they were up to. That's crazy.
Okay.
I reckon you could work this one out though.
Okay. So, well it feels... What was it? You said the Roman. What was it in Constantine?
Yeah, so Constantine the Great was the emperor.
He sounds like a Greek person. You know, maybe that's because he just sounds like Constantinople or whatever, which I believe was in Greece.
I will step in here.
Okay, please help me.
Before we create an international incident.
Yes, I think they're very chill about these kind of questions around this part of the world. Constantinople is the former name of Istanbul, which is the capital of Turkey. So I would say Constantinople. Yes.
Okay. Not the capital.
Not the capital. It's one of those.
Ankara or Ankara is the capital of Turkey. Well, actually, Ankara is the capital of Turkey. It was a capital at one point. So Ankara is the capital of Turkey, but you're talking about Istanbul.
Which was formerly Constantinople, which is what I think is the answer, or what we should submit as our answer, is that was the capital of the Roman Empire.
Absolutely the correct answer. Very well done. At the time, the city was known as the city of Byzantium, but he renamed it, so the Emperor Constantine renamed it New Rome with little imagination.
Yeah, that's where the font comes from, I believe.
That's where the what?
The font, New Times Roman.
Yes. Then it was renamed again as Constantinople after himself. And it subsequently remained the capital of the Roman Empire for more than 1,000 years.
Whoa.
Wow. Really? Yeah. The fact that it's 1,000 years and it's like, it's such a nothing knowledge for us now. I love that at some point in time, this was the most important thing. But fast forward long enough, no one gives a shit. Which makes me also sometimes, there's a sense of relief when you think about all the shit that we're going through now and just know that in 2,000 years, we're completely forgotten.
Yeah. It'll be a quiz question on someone's dumb podcast.
And then even after that, the sun's going to explode one day, rendering all human endeavor completely pointless.
Right, exactly.
We're not up to that yet. All right, question number three.
We're two for two, by the way, just reminding everyone.
Yeah, you're doing very well. Singer Robbie Williams was once a member of which boy band? You've got a multiple choice, but I think...
We don't need multiple choice. Tom, do you need multiple choice for this?
I'm going to do that thing where I think I definitely know it and then I'm going to forget. Was it Westlife?
Oh, my God. You know what? Can I revoke your homosexual membership? Because
no, it's not Westlife.
I think it doesn't work like that. Okay, look.
Which one was it?
It starts with T. Two T's.
I've gone blank. Go on.
It is the incredible band Take That, featuring Robbie Williams,
very well
Gary
done.
Barlow.
Oh, yes. Keep
Mark
going.
Owen. Mark Owen. Wow. Jason something and Harry. I can't remember the last names. But I know it's Jason and Harry.
You really ran out of steam at the end.
I thought as I keep going, it might come back to me. But then I went, well, look, getting Mark Owen is pretty impressive. I'm happy with that.
You're talking about Jason Orange.
Oh, yes, Jason I am. And Howard
Donald.
Ah, no, I wouldn't have got that. Jesus. But Jason Howard Orange Donald was in the wheelhouse for sure.
Yeah. The band itself, Take That, was the brainchild of band manager. Do you remember the manager's name?
No.
Nigel Martin Smith.
Okay.
In 1990, he built the band around singer-songwriter Gary Barlow. So you're right. Did you name them all? Gary Barlow, Howard Donald,
Jason
and
Mark
Owen. They're still going around as Take That right now. Those three.
So one of my weirder habits that I do, once I have my completely legal prescription marijuana at night to help me sleep, my YouTube algorithm already knows what mood I'm in and starts suggesting me. And for some reason, I've gone on a Take That hole recently, and I watched the whole journey between Robbie Williams falling out as well as their Take That trying to do a, you know, their tour by themselves, just the four of them, and somehow Robbie crushing them on his own. And then, you know, his alcohol addiction that came with it. And then the reunion. I watched this wonderful interview between Gary and Robbie talking about those early years and the fights that they had. And it all comes back to the fact that Robbie was like 16 or 17 or something during all of that.
16 when they started.
Yeah. And he was like
crazy.
The kid. And he
way too young.
And it was kind of sweet to see Gary say that he feels responsible that he didn't look after him more. And I was like, oh, and meanwhile, I'm crying watching Take That video.
Amazing. Well, well done. You got that very quickly. The other multiple choices, Tom, you were right. Westlife was one of the options. Yep. And the other one is, can you
New Kids on the Block, or they would have gone to the British one? Would have been Boyzone.
It was another British one. Boyzone, very well done. Dill Rock.
Yeah. Do you want the Boyzone names? Okay, it is Rowan.
No, thank you. We don't have
Stephen Gately.
I'm revoking your straight license here. Very
good. Question number four. In education, the acronym TAFE stands for Technical and What Education, and there's a bonus point for naming what VET or VET stands for.
I might tap out here, Tom. I don't think I know technical. So the A is and?
Correct.
So we're just
technical
after the F.
And I believe it's further education.
Very well done.
Yeah.
And VET stands for Vocational Education and Training.
Oh, what? Look at you.
Well, my mum is a teacher at TAFE and taught at TAFE for a very, very long time. And also, I briefly touched on this in my book, I'm Millennial, One Snowflake's Greed Against Boomers, Billionaires and Everything Else, published by Simon & Schuster, in which I discussed the privatization of... It's a very funny book. Privatization...
Sounds it.
Of the education system. And it was... I don't know if people remember the VET fee scandal from a few years ago, which was basically under the Labor government, just let a whole bunch of private providers come into the vocational market and what do you know?
And charge what they want. And
charge whatever they want, providing qualifications that were like flimsier than a fucking pen license, ripping people off left, right and center, trying to just sign anyone up to any kind of course and then providing them no education at all. Surprise, surprise, the market is an enemy towards education and the growing, the benefit of society. We need a revolution today and we need to overthrow the capitalist class.
Amazing.
I know the all five bad members of Boyzone and Backstreet Boys.
Hey, Tom, what did your mum teach at TAFE?
She taught lots of things, mainly English and particularly in more recent years, like English as a second language. So a lot of migrant students trying to brush up on their English skills. She was a teacher for a while and then also just a teacher's assistant. I mean, she retired and then she kept doing it as a volunteer because she's a bloody nice person who just loves helping people learn
that's
English
so
words.
Funny.
So,
oh, that's lovely.
Yeah,
that's
she loves
incredible.
It. But
wow.
She was staying, she worked in there. It's crazy, like there were 84 TAFEs in the country in 2001, and now there's less than 30 or something. Like,
yeah.
The whole system's been kind of screwed over. So it's
yeah.
like
just
a little bit
gutted.
Sad.
Just like really. Yeah.
Is that because they're trying to push more people into university as opposed to TAFE? Is that
no? As Tom touched on before, they're trying to push more people into the private system,
right?
Because TAFE is the government-owned
not-for-profit
tertiary,
It's part of the public education public system, education. But it's focused on skills and training, vocational stuff. Mm. Yeah, from everything from learning to be a real estate agent to hairdressers and stuff are all trained often through the TAFE system. We had a world-class system, and then it got decimated as the I'm not going to be funny about this.
Please don't be, because
the value of public education goes down. They go, oh yeah, the market can provide this education, and it'll work out fantastically.
Right.
But, you know, it just doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they're going back. Like in Victoria, they got fee-free TAFE, and so the government's like, hey, look at us, everyone. TAFE's free again. You don't have to pay to go to TAFE. It's like, well, originally, no one had to goddamn pay to go to TAFE. So.
Yeah, it was a good idea then, and it remains a good idea now. So good, yeah. Good. Thank you.
Funny stuff.
I'm glad I had you on this podcast for that question. That was excellent.
Mm.
All right. Question number 5. What ailment that commonly affects travelers is also called kinetosis?
Kinetosis.
Yeah.
Kinetosis. So kino on that sort of word reminds me of touch, like, you know, kinesthetic, kinesiology, that sort of kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
nice. That's what that is.
The hitting zone?
The Greek, yeah, yeah.
What do common travelers get in terms of touch-based thing? Because I was going to say, you know, gastro, but... is it something to do with deep vein thrombosis, DVT, where, like, not moving too much? No, but that doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Mm. I like where your head has gone, but you've gone...
Gone off.
I think you've misunderstood the root word.
Mm.
Kinetikos is the Greek root word. And
which
it
means
doesn't
no
mean...
bears.
It doesn't mean touch. You're in the right region, though. But
skin.
It actually means... To move.
Oh. To move.
To move.
Yes.
Kinetic is movement.
Okay, movement,
yes.
Okay.
I would suggest jet lag then.
Oh.
Jet lag is another good guess, but not quite.
Oh. Okay.
It's not just travellers like internationally. It's travellers, and usually it's travellers on a smaller mode of transport.
Oh, so is it sore bum?
Seasickness?
Yeah, it's travel sickness or seasickness.
Okay, the movement.
You know, motion
Hang
sickness.
On. Sorry, I'm sorry. I said seasickness and Durek said sore bum. talk me through your thinking here, Durek. What's going on? Are you okay? What trips have you been going on? Have you been going to Fire Island? What the fuck are you...
I went on this cruise with a bunch of dudes. I just, you know... No. It's because I thought you sit in the one place for so long and you get that
right.
Soreness.
Oh. So love.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Very Greek, isn't it? So love.
Oh, no. I'm going to have to put a warning on this podcast.
Sorry,
kiddies.
Johnny. All right. So motion sickness, basically.
Yes. So it's motion sickness. So from the Greek, kinetikos or kinein, which is to move, and osis. Osis means state or abnormal condition or action.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, very well done. Do either of you get motion sickness regularly?
Did you do the helicopter last weekend, Tom? 2 weeks ago we had a gig where we had to go in helicopters.
Like, yes, seriously?
Yes. Yeah, legit.
Yeah. Flirt in a helicopter, yeah.
Wow, no, where was that?
I was at a winery. It was called the Comedy in the Vines Festival. It was in Ngambi. So it was about half an hour helicopter ride from Melbourne. Yeah, it was pretty awesome, I must say. I guess that's more vertigo.
Yeah, I was meant to go with Tom in the helicopter that day, but then I got stopped at airport security because of the way I look. No, I'm joking. No, it was. I actually, ironically, had severe food poisoning from. I came via Singapore and had some dodgy laksa, and so I couldn't. I was like, "There's no way I'm going to be trapped on a helicopter with no access to a toilet." That was maybe the closest I felt to maybe having a bit of motion sickness because of the movement wasn't natural to, say, when we fly or drive, but the helicopter was the first, but it could have been the food poisoning, so we don't know. And by the way, up until the age of 13, I thought motion sickness had to do with, I don't know, do you guys ever, it might be a Sri Lankan thing, but we used to refer to diarrhea as having loose motions. And
so
motion sickness was you get diarrhea.
Yeah. So you were kind of right with sore bum. That's
what did you think locomotion was about?
A Spanish person having diarrhea.
Some crazy shit.
Crazy diarrhea.
Ah, brilliant. All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Dilruk Jayasena and Tom Ballard, and we are up to question number 6. The internet country code top-level domain for Australia is .au. What country is .mm the code for?
MM, Marshall Mathers, M&M's house.
M&M, yeah.
Yeah. MM, I believe Malaysia is M. Yeah, I think, I don't know if that's actually true, but it doesn't feel like MM. That's the first M country that came to mind.
It's good. It's not Malaysia, so
okay. All right.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Thomas?
But you're reasonably close geographically. If you want a little clue.
I mean, geography is not my strength.
Other M countries: Madagascar, Morocco,
Maldives.
Maldives is close to Malta.
No, get closer back to Asia. Guys. What are you doing?
Okay, yeah, I know. What are the other Asian countries?
I gave you a big clue.
Yeah. An Asian country that begins with M. Singapore, Myanmar, Nepal,
Mongolia.
No, not Mongolia.
Damn.
No, M. So if you just say, make two sounds that both have M in them.
No, both of us are just like, like what you're saying.
Again,
our first words.
A wonderful clue if we know what the fucking answer is. If we don't, it's quite hard, actually.
Come on,
yeah,
China.
You definitely
right.
can get this.
So we're in.
There
we're
are
in Asia.
Currently 308 delegated country code top level domains.
Yeah.
So let's not go through all of them.
Okay. So it's definitely. Oh shit. Well, we're in Asia.
You know
we're
what?
In Asia. Yeah.
You're in Asia.
Okay.
But let me give you this little bit of information. Even Antarctica has its own one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's AQ. .AQ.
Oh, okay. How many websites are registered in Antarctica?
A few.
Yeah, gosh. I mean...
Yeah, this is...
I literally have an atlas above my computer here, so I've...
Oh, yeah, do that.
Cheeky look.
Well, what date is your... Is your atlas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, is this some Myanmar?
Myanmar is the right answer.
Oh, wow.
There you go. So Myanmar has the country code .mm. Very well done.
As Tom said, if you knew the answer, that was a great clue that you gave us. Just
yeah, right? You just have to go meow, meow. That's like, you're there.
When did they change from Burma to Myanmar? Did that happen quite a while ago, right? I believe there was a reference to it on Seinfeld, as far as I can remember. So at least in the 90s.
Oh, really? Well, I think so. Interestingly, there was still, up until 2010, there was still .yu for the country code for Yugoslavia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so they deleted that from the internet, making it, possibly the largest country code top-level domain ever removed, and taking with it all that information
So does that mean YU is up for grabs if someone wants to grab it? Like Yumi Steins or someone wants
YU.
To grab it?
Yeah, okay. Sure. All right. Question number 7. Which car manufacturer produces the electric Leaf model?
Oh, my God. All right. Well, the only electric car thing I know, Tom, is Tesla. But I can't, you know, I don't know any other electric car manufacturers. You're a bit of an environmentalist, Tom. You care about people's future and the world being on fire. Do you have any...
Do you have an electric car, Tom?
I do not. I've never owned a car. I'm just on my little bike, the cleanest form of transport of all.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, you could just walk around and that's probably cleaner, but sure.
Yeah, can't be bothered. The Leaf, that does ring a bell in some way. Almost, can you tell us, is this a car being produced now or this is a car, a more electric car that has been produced in the past?
No, it is being produced now. It was first produced in 2010.
Right.
And it was the world's first mass market electric and zero emission vehicle.
Wow.
And it is a big seller. It is massive around the world.
Oh, wait.
And it's one of the big car makers, car manufacturers.
Yeah.
This is not this car manufacturer's first electric vehicle, though. Their first electric vehicle made by this company was in 1947.
Whoa.
When it was called the Tama, T-A-M-A, and that's when that was made. I'm going to give you a little clue. It's a Japanese brand of car. Because at the time, Japan was suffering from an acute shortage of oil and that kind of situation. But they had a surplus of electricity since there was almost no home appliances or bulk users of electricity. So they made these Tama cars that they used for taxis and delivery vehicles for about a decade.
Mm.
Hmm.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Now I'm drawing complete blanks. I think this. I mean, we've definitely dropped a few questions along the way, but this feels like the big, the one that I don't know if you're going to come close to.
Japanese car manufacturer.
Okay, so Toyota, Mitsubishi, Honda. Yamaha, Nissan.
Starts with N.
Nissan
is the right answer. Very well done. You got there eventually.
Yeah, only the eighth guess.
So yeah, the Nissan Leaf. Is the world's first mass market electric and zero emission vehicle.
Oh, wow.
Let me get to question number 8. Which former British Prime Minister did current PM Rishi Sunak this month appoint as Foreign Secretary?
So you, Thomas Ballard, I know there's a brown man's name mentioned and I'm supposed to know what that guy is up to, but I've seen some of his policies and it shits me so much that I don't want to know anything about it.
Yeah, he's not Sri Lankan, but does the Sri Lankan community take any heart in the fact that the British Prime Minister is...
Yeah! Oh my God, we were so excited. No, honestly, because when you raised in colonial...
It's a massive thing. Like,
yeah. So the generation that I grew up in and the one before really still is stuck in this idea that the white is better and being white is like whether it's movies and everything, it's always been white, right? This idea of seeing a brown person in a position of power outside of your own little thing is foreign. It's an understandable concept. As soon as there's one of them, there's a genuine celebration of going, oh wow, like a fellow brown person made it that far. And then you hear him say shit and you're like, God, no. That's not what we stand for, or like most of us stand for.
Right, so if you just watch Rishi Sunak on mute, you could be like, yes, social justice win.
Yeah. My God, absolutely.
It was David Cameron, Johnny.
Was indeed David Cameron. Do you know what David Cameron's official title is now?
Now that he's been appointed to the Foreign Affairs.
Well, yeah, to be put back into the government, he had to be admitted to the House of Lords.
The House of Lords, yes.
He's Lord Cameron. Cameron. He's actually Baron Cameron of Chipping Norton.
And he fucked a pig? Is that right? I believe we could definitely lock that in. We know that for sure that he fucked a pig.
Yeah, well, but was the pig facing upwards or not? That's what it was.
Yeah, the pig couldn't look him in the eye. I think that's the...
he lost eye contact and he really couldn't get that eye contact. God.
I think we should move right along before I get sued. Question number 9. The Australian National Dictionary Centre chose what sports-related term as its 2023 Word of the Year?
Wow, I really peaked with Take That and Robbie Williams, didn't I?
You sure did.
It's really been downhill for me
since. But look, this is your sports question on this podcast. There's always in this quiz a sports question. And I've got to say, this is a pretty soft one.
Okay, so it must do with something of a sporting thing that was significant this year.
Indeed.
I can think of the Matildas.
Significant to our nation.
So Matildas was probably the biggest sporting thing.
Matildas is the right... Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow.
Very well done. Tom, you look like you knew that all along and you were letting Dilruk get there.
I know. This will sound like I'm making it up, but I did genuinely know that. But okay. I also believed in Dilruk and I thought that he could get it.
Oh, thanks, man. So what? Yeah. So they made that the word of the year, Matildas.
Matilda is the word of the year for the, according to the Australian National Dictionary Centre.
Very
yeah.
Cool.
Did you watch, were you part of the more than 11 million Australians that watched the semi-final match against England at the Women's World Cup?
I did. I was in Edinburgh. And so it was on at like 11 a.m. during the Fringe. And there was a huge turnout of Australians and English people in the beer garden of pub and a venue at Edinburgh Fringe. And it was incredible. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very demoralizing. But that goal, all the Australians leapt to their
feet. I bet.
Was
oh my God, that would have been enormous. Sam Kerr.
It was genuinely one of the more wonderful things to be part of, I guess, since I've moved here, which is I don't think I'd ever felt that level of everyone being on the same side for that. Like, it has felt so divisive over the last, pretty much since COVID, I guess, there's been just so much division. And this is the first time you felt like, hey, we're all on the same side. How cool.
Yeah.
And I found it quite interesting because over the weekend that we've just had, Australian men's cricket won the World Cup. And there's so little like song and dance about something that from where I come from is like the Holy Grail, you know?
Yeah.
And so as my brother and dad put it, like the win was wasted on Aussies because it doesn't seem like because if India won the World Cup that night, there would have been a public holiday for sure. You know, like 1.4 billion people would have been celebrating. And all of a sudden in Australia, I wake up, I'm like, everyone's like, oh yeah, the Aussies won. It's just like a something in the back page. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is one of the coolest things to happen.
Absolutely. All right, last question, final question of the podcast. Question number 10. Is a chimpanzee a monkey or an ape?
Oh, my God. Now, first of all, I'll come clean here. I did not know there was a differentiation between a monkey and an ape. I assume like the ape family that humans belong to as a cousin called the monkey. And I did not realize that this was a whole other genre.
Uh-huh.
I just I thought it was just an ape umbrella, and under the ape umbrella comes all these different monkeys, humans, gorillas.
Well, no, that umbrella is called primates. So we're all primates.
Okay, right.
And that takes in apes and monkeys, and there are primates that are neither apes nor monkeys. Ooh. So like lemurs are not monkeys.
You
not
mean
apes,
the comedian Anthony Limo? He's not a monkey.
Yeah, Limo.
Limo is not a monkey. Wow.
Well, he's probably an ape.
Stop the press.
Now, to answer this question, I do know a little bit about this. The great apes include gorillas, orangutans, bonobos, and chimpanzees, I believe.
And what? There's one more.
And human beings.
Very well done.
Then maybe, Tom, you might have answered it then. Because the question was chimpanzees are a monkey or an ape. And if you...
Yeah.
Isolated
he sure
five.
Did answer it.
I feel like we'll call it monkey.
They're an ape. They're apes.
The
most obvious. What is? Tell me the most obvious difference between monkeys and apes.
Opposable thumbs.
No, because monkeys. Some monkeys have that as well.
Tails.
It is the presence or absence of a tail.
Ah.
With only a couple of exceptions, all monkeys have tails.
Right.
But no apes have tails.
Right.
So, find out just. Look at the bum. That's the...
and we share like 99% of the same DNA as a chimpanzee. Is that right?
Something like that. But something we also share like something like 89% with a banana. So...
Are you sure you're not like, dyslexic and red bonobo?
I'm sorry.
Genetics don't really tell you, you know, a great deal. I don't think.
Yeah, you're right. It's all bullshit. The world's only 4,000 years old, isn't it?
Can I just, on a serious note, right? Like, I consider myself an atheist, and I'm always like, yeah, I'm evidence-based, and I'm science-based, blah, 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 blah. I don't know jack shit about evolution. I just accept it because there's supposedly people who have looked into it. But really, that is a genuinely a faith-based position that I've taken, I myself have no clue how evolution works. But I'm like, yeah, it's evolution. It's not God.
But it kind of makes sense, right?
Well, I feel like Carl Pilkington on a Ricky Gervais podcast right now.
Sure.
Like, I know they've had this discussion, but I remember thinking, like, the idea that a jellyfish is as evolved as a human being just somehow is like, I'm like, okay, if you say so, but it's fucking 80% water. How can that? Yeah. It doesn't know how to, you know, jump on a podcast and listen to Boyzone. Is it as evolved
as I believe, as Ricky Gervais put it, if they're around, it's working. If you're around, it's working. Yeah, it's hard to think about evolution without having the idea of some kind of goal, right? As if everyone is evolving to
towards some kind being
of, like, perfect. Like, we're always trying to improve or get better. But that's, no, it's just to survive. It's just to keep going and survive. Yeah. So if you are still around today, then yes, it is.
Then it's working. Evolution terms, is working.
Working.
Yes. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Well done. My goodness. We have traversed some topics and some, we've gone here, there, and everywhere today. Thank you so much for doing the quiz. You are both performing on Monday the 4th of December. You're both doing a live taping of your comedy shows at the Corner Hotel in Richmond. Dilruk, your show, Heartstopper, is on at 6:30. Doors open at 6. And Tom, yours is Tom Ballard Live.
Live.
On at 8:30. How exciting.
Very exciting. I'm doing, for those of who came to the Comedy Festival, it's the same show that I did at the Comedy Festival, but it's being taped live. It's about a heart attack that I had last year. So lots of fun and real joyful stuff coming out of me about a near-death experience.
So that was evolution trying to get rid of you, Dil. Evolution trying to
breed
out the weaker of the species.
Also, combined, Tom, you and I, we are doing a gig in Orange, New South Wales together, I believe, on March 1st and March 2nd. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, if there are people in other parts of the country listen to that. I
might as well plug that as well. Yeah, at the Factory Espresso Cafe.
Did you say March?
Yes, March 24th.
It's a long way away. Yes.
Gotcha. I'll set a reminder for my for my listeners.
But for the taping, we should say so people know, it's cheaper to buy tickets to both if you'd like. So if you want to see both shows, then you can do like a little double deal on the Monday the 4th, and you can stick around and enjoy the beautiful, cool rock and roll vibe of the Corner and see us both filming.
You absolutely should. And you can get your tickets by going to tickets.cornerhotel.com
or comedy.com.au or comedy.com.yn or whatever that you just like.
Thanks so much for doing the quiz, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Thanks, Johnny.
That was really fun.
See you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.